So the reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, starting to read at verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
I'm practicing for Wednesdays. I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story about a fisherman. And it was a story that was told to me by Bishop Jack, who was the Bishop of Sheffield, who ordained me in 2002 in Sheffield Cathedral. He told the story of a fisherman, and this fisherman went out to sea, and he caught the biggest fish he'd ever caught, ever. It was enormous. It was shiny. It was plump. And he and his wife weren't very rich, and he thought, this will feed us for a month if we're careful. And he went, "I'm gonna so enjoy eating this fish." And the fish said, "Oh, don't eat me, sir." And he's like, "What? It's a talking fish." He said, well, "Why wouldn't I eat you?" He said, "Because if you don't eat me, I'll grant you, Joel, you'll have to do, the clicker's not working, 4 wishes. Not 3 wishes, 4 wishes. And the man's like, "But it's the biggest fish I've ever caught. They'll never believe me down pub." And the fish said, 4 wishes? He said, "How can I be sure that you can give me 4 wishes? He said, "Mate, I'm a talking fish. What do you think?" So he's like, "Oh, yeah, so that makes sense." So he throws him back into the water and he goes back home. Joel, to his little cottage. And he walks in the door and his wife said, "So did you catch anything today?" And he says, "Yes." He said, "I caught the biggest fish I've ever caught." She's like, "Where is it?" He said, "Ah, but that's the most amazing bit. It was a talking fish, and it said if I threw it back into the water, it would give me 4 wishes. She's like, "Great. Not only did you not catch anything, you've come home drunk." And he's like, no, I didn't. So anyway, he's in bad books, and they always go out for a walk together in the evenings. So they go out for a walk together, and she's walking past the most beautiful dress shop. And she's walked past this shop every night for the 20-odd years they've been married. And she's gazed longingly into the shop. And they're too poor to even buy a sock in there. It's one of those really posh, you know, the sort that don't have prices. You know that sort of shop. You know that you're not rich enough to shop there if it doesn't have prices. At least I do. You might be different. If you are, you can buy some more raffle tickets while I'm talking. And she says, I wish I owned all of the frocks in that shop. And her husband, who's pretty browbeaten, as you can imagine, says, "Yes, dear, I wish that you owned all the frocks in that shop." Well, they get home, and the house is full of frocks. Every frock from the shop is in. They're on the rafters, they're on the roof, and she's like, "Ooh, nah, there's no such thing as a magic fish." So anyway, the following day, they go out for another walk and they're having a ponder. And she says, she sees this big house up on the hill. And she says, I wish that we lived in a, no, not yet, Joel, thank you. "I wish that we lived in a big house and that Robbie Williams was living there to serve my every need." Well, they turn the corner. Yeah, calm down, dear, calm down. Told this to Marisa, she got all excited at this point. I don't quite know why. So anyway, they turn the corner, the fisherman's cottage is gone, and instead there's this big mansion, and on the front doorstep there's... No, don't use the space bar, use the left and right buttons. There we go. There's Robbie Williams, waiting to serve her every need. Can I just tell you how dangerous it is Googling Robbie Williams on photos? I'm going to need therapy after seeing some of those photos, I tell you. So anyway, she starts thinking even more. She's thinking, by heck. She said, I live in a big house. I've got all these frocks and I've got Robbie. So she's, oh, what do I do? What do I do? Well, they didn't go out for a walk the next day, but they sat talking. And you know, the husband's worrying about how they're going to pay for Robbie and the big house and all the servants. And she says, well, she said, it's so dreadful. She said, you're so poor. She said, I wish you were the richest man in the world and we didn't have to worry about money ever again. And he says, yes, dear, I wish so. And there's a knock on the doorbell and there's a whole line of Group 4 lorries absolutely full of gold bullion. It takes them 6 hours to stack it all in the shed. He's the richest, richer than Croesus, richer than Fort Knox. He makes the American Federal Reserve look like pocket money. They're as rich can be. And she's like, get in there. But then she's like, oh, hang on a minute. I've got one more wish, haven't I? So anyway, they go out and they're sitting on the seafront while they stack the gold helpfully in different parts of the house. And she's like, what could I wish for? I've got the frocks, I've got the house, I've got the gold, I've got Robbie. What could I possibly want? She said, I know. She said, dear, I wish I could be like God. And he says, yes, dear. Said, I wish you could be like God. So anyway, they're walking home and they turn the corner to their house and the gold has gone. The frocks have gone. Robbie has gone. The house, the mansion has gone. Even their little old shepherd's hut has gone. And all there is standing where it was is a feeding trough for animals. She wanted to be like God. And God gave up everything in order to rescue us. That's why we had today's story about the widow's mite, because Jesus left the glory of heaven to become a refugee child born into poverty. This woman in our story today, she only had 2 copper coins. In our country, that would be 4 pence maximum. She probably had 2 pennies. That was all she had to live on. It would probably have bought her a meal for today and tomorrow in those days. But that's everything she had. But she knew that she wanted to give that to God. And there was a funnel at the entrance to the temple. And rich people would make a big show of getting their great big money bag out and reaching into it and taking out 1 big golden coin and putting their money bag back away again and making sure everybody could see what they were doing. Is everyone watching? Big coin. Blink, so that everybody knew what they were doing. And Jesus was sat watching them. And if Jesus was good at anything, Jesus was good at watching people. And he watched this little old lady meander up to the funnel with her hands clasped together. And she just very quietly put her coins in and walked on. But Jesus saw what she'd done. She'd been generous. Generosity, sometimes people think, is measured by how much you give. But if you only get £10 a week and you give £1 and somebody else earns £10,000 a week and they give £1,000, Who's been more generous? I reckon it's the person who gave a pound, because they only had £9 left to live on. The other person's got £9,000 left to live on. Generosity isn't measured by how much we give. It's measured by how much we've got left when we've given. Jesus gave up everything for us. The old woman gave up everything to try and serve God. I want to tell you a story about generosity. Oh, no, sorry. Didn't print out my notes. Do we give our best to God, or, Joel, does God get the leftovers? I want to tell you a story about generosity. Last Sunday, next slide please, the computer died. Those of you here will know when it died. It died at 12 minutes past 10. It got a bit frantic for a little while. Angie was amazing. She planned so carefully for the services, and we changed the first three songs on her with 2.5 minutes notice. The music group were incredible. We're going to cancel our music group practice because they play far better when they don't have any time to practice than they do when they do. Although that might have been the Holy Spirit helping out. Possibly. And I was sat at the desk, quite literally tearing what small amounts of remaining hair out. I've been battling with the computer since 9:30. It was obviously dying at that point. About 2.5 minutes before it finally died, someone came up to me and they handed me an envelope. And in that envelope was some money. They'd done Dry January as a couple, and they said, this is the money that we saved. And it was £80. Now, they gift aid. They've signed so that we can claim back some of the tax they pay, which meant, actually, there was £100 effectively in that envelope. They handed it to me, sat at the sound desk, and said, we just wanted to give you that for you to spend on whatever the church really needs most. 2.5 minutes later, the computer died. It wasn't until I was talking to Dave later that afternoon, frantically trying to find the parts that we needed, that I realized that God had put £100 into my hands, sat at the computer as it died. I mean, how good is that? The challenge is, actually, it cost us £300 to fix the computer. So, no, back. There we are. So we got there, but we've got some gaps. So my first challenge this morning is, could any of you help to fill that gap? We don't have much left over at the end of the month. In fact, in the first part of the year, we've got less left over at the end of the month than we had when we started it. It's one of the reasons we're going to talk a little bit about generosity and about money as we go through the year, trying to find ways to help people to think about what they give. But could some of you, no, back one, back. Could some of you help maybe to offset the other bits of that computer? Now, maybe you can't. I appreciate all of us have different incomes. Some of us are moderately wealthy and well off, and we can do that sort of thing. Some of us aren't. Maybe then what you could give is a pound. A pound. I've recently had to do the statistics that we send to the Central Church. And as part of our church family, those who regularly worship with us amounts to about 140 adults and children. That's quite a lot, really. Certainly a lot more than quite a few other places nearby. Not that I'm proud of that, because that's a sin that I have to repent of quite often. We reckon, at a rough count, because I've got a spreadsheet that's got everybody's name on it, so I can keep track of who's arrived and who's left and who's where and who's not. We reckon that's about 40 households. Next one. Now, imagine if every one of those 40 households, I appreciate some of those might be families, some of those might be people, gave an extra pound every week. Just £1 more than you give now. That might be just giving £1. It might be giving £2 rather than one. It might be giving £11 rather than 10. It might be giving £51 rather than 50. Lots of people give lots of different amounts. The amount doesn't matter. But if everybody gave £1, each week we would have £40. Which isn't very much, really, is it? But at the end of the year, if you count it up, how much is that? Next clip. That's £2,000. Just by every household giving £1 extra every week. That's why God calls us to be part of a family. Because those who have quite a lot are able to give a little bit more, and those who have not very much give a little bit less, and everybody gives a little bit, and God turns a little bit into a lot. God turns up with £100 unexpectedly when the computer's about to die. God turns up with someone who decides with his friends to hold a chocolate raffle and raise probably the better part of £300 just to help people. Jesus was known for anything. It was stopping to help people who were poor and outcast. Our Sunday school are leading the way, doing Jesus stuff. £2,000 a year just by giving £1 extra. It's not much, is it? Joel, click, please. So, maybe you have lots of money and you could give £100. Maybe you don't have much money and you could give £1 extra a week. Maybe what you could give is 20 pence out of your pocket money, which isn't much. But if you haven't got much, not very much is being generous. And that's the story of the lady today. Being generous to God is what matters. Not how much we give. It's not how much you've got. It's about giving something special to God. There are all sorts of ways we can do that. That's it. That's the last one. There are all sorts of ways you can do that. There are all sorts of things that we can do as part of our church family. We've just joined if I can find one of these, something called the Parish Giving Scheme. It's a new idea, and you sign up to this, and some of us pay directly into the bank. That's why you never see us put our hands in our pockets on a Sunday morning. It's not good with skin flints, it's just it goes out first, and then we remember to pay it, rather than having to remember to get the money out and bring it on a Sunday morning. This scheme is brilliant. It replaces our own standing orders. All the money goes through to this central organisation. They sort out all of the gift aid claims, which will make Margaret's job much easier at the end of the year, because Margaret sorts all the gift aid out for us. But the best bit about this is you can tick a box that says, I would like my donation to increase by inflation every year. And at this point, I'm feeling really guilty because I don't think our standing order has changed in about 7 years. So I'm going to go home today and I'm going to write the letter that I ought to have written 3 years ago to increase my standing order. But this is great because it does it for you. If you pay directly into the bank, the church bank, A, it saves us the time and effort of poor Margaret lugging 48 kilograms worth of spare change to the bank on a Wednesday or a Tuesday when she does the banking. But also it means that we don't have to remember to increase our gift. We can do that automatically. If you already give via the bank, if we could ask you to take one of these and transfer onto the parish giving scheme, you don't have to tick that box if you don't want to. But if you do want to, it's a great way to make sure that year on year, we've managed to keep up with the increasing demands on the church's money. The other thing you can do, and I know some people don't like to do things via the bank, they like to put something into the tray. What you can do, have you got them there, Margaret? You might have seen people with these.
Bottom ones are blank, top ones are named.
These are envelopes. If someone's got one of those envelopes today, could you wave it for me, please? There we are. Look around, these little envelopes. You'll see people with them. They're not love letters. They've got money inside. It's a brilliant way of giving without people seeing how much you're giving. It's not like that person who's going, oh, look me, I've got a big coin. Yay! You do it privately. You, God, and the treasurer knows how much is in here. I don't. Margaret does as well. Only on named ones. I don't know how much goes into these envelopes. I don't know how much goes into the bank account. I deliberately don't do that. Because I don't want to know how much each of you gives. What matters is that you know how much each of you gives, and Jesus does as well. That's another wonderful way. And what some people do that don't manage to make it every week, and I know some of you don't for all sorts of really good reasons, is they still put their money in every week. And they put the money in and they put it back in the box. And then when they're coming to church, they realize, oh, hold your arm up. Like Linda, they realize that they've missed a week. So they then bring in. So it means that the giving is regular. It's about doing that. So these are the new envelopes. Some of them have got names on them and some of them are blank. If you pay tax, it helps if we know your name because we can get that extra money back from the tax man. How many of you dislike paying money to the tax man? How many of you like getting money back from the tax man? How much was our gift aid claim last year, Margaret? Ooh. Take your shoes off as well. It'll help to count. She hasn't got that many toes. So, right, okay. We get a huge amount back from the tax man every year, just by people who pay tax signing a little piece of paper. What better way to worship God than by making the treasury help us out? It's the only money we get from the government. Every penny that supports this building, week in, week out, every penny that pays for what we do, every penny that pays for carpets and chairs and coffee and tea and candles and paper and music and Catherine and me, every penny comes on the plate. We don't get money from elsewhere. It comes from people that give regularly. So, generosity. We can all be generous. Maybe it's with 20 pence, or maybe it's with 20 pounds. There are ways for us all to be generous.